Torah Leil Shishi, Thursday, 12th of June. Rabbi Shimon Gorevitz.
The focal event in this week's parasha is the Maisa Meraglim. Meraglim are spies. I sent Losses Oretz to spy out Eretz Yisrael. As we know, they came back. And 10 of them were Moitzi Dibastron Oretz. They told Loshen Hora about Eretz Yisrael. They degenerated Eretz Yisrael. We have our two heroes, Kaleb and Yehoshua, who stood up to them, although they were very much the minority, they were untainted, they were uninfluenced by the ten meraglim, and they were awarded accordingly. And I think there's a couple of interesting points that I'd like to raise. I think there's an important lesson that can be gained from the story of the meraglim. The Pasuk says at the end of the story, Va'avdi Kaleb, eike poisa ruach acheres imoi, the Pasuk starts off. Kalev is given this title which very, very few people are given. Friend of Rom Avinu is referred to as an Eved Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, but besides for that, nobody else in the Torah is referred to as an Eved Hashem. Kalev is referred to as Avdi Kalev. That's the title that Kalev receives. We never see that Yeshua is referred to as Avdi. So the first thing I think we have to understand is, why did Kalev merit this title as opposed to Yeshua? Ramban already speaks about it. I'd like to perhaps bring out a different mahalach to explain it. Another thing that we have to understand is as follows. Chazal tell us that what Kalev received as a reward was Chevron. Now Chevron, besides for being a town in Eretz Yisrael, which is most desirable to have, there wasn't just any town in Eretz Yisrael. Chevron was the Mokoyim where the Ovis were buried. Moris HaMachpel is to be found in Chevron. This was the Mokim Kvura of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, the Mokim Kvura of Sarah, Rivka, and Leah. Besides for being the Mokim Kvura of Adam and Chav. This most highly coveted part of Eretz Yisrael was given to Kalev. A wonderful reward. We don't find anywhere that Yeshua was rewarded for not falling in with the miracle. Why did Kalev get a reward and Yeshua didn't get a reward? Something else I'd like to point out. Find a bit earlier in the parsha, the Yeshua ben Nun, the Kalev ben Yefunah min Atorim es Haoretz Koro Bigdei. Ibn Ezra already points out Yeshua's name is mentioned before Kalev. Yeshua ben Nun, the Kalev ben Yefunah. Says Ibn Ezra, Hiskiru Moshe betchila. Moshe mentions Yeshua's name before Kalev. Legoidel Malos. Because of Yeshua's elevated status, because of Yeshua's greatness, Yeshua's name preceded Kalev. Yet, as we go through the parashas, we'll find that from then onwards, almost always Kalev's name is mentioned before Yeshua. In the same parasha towards the end, Im Atom, Atom Tavoya Oretz, it means nobody will come to the land, Ki Im Kalev Ben Yefuna, the Yeshua Ben Nun. And the same thing is repeated in Parshas Matzos, and so we find also in Parshas Devorim, that from then onwards, Kalev's name is always mentioned before Yeshua's. Ki Om Hashem Lehem Moisi Musba Midbar, Loi Noisoma and Isha says in Parshas Pinchas, Ki Im Kalev Ben Yefuna Bi Yeshua Ben Nun. So though it appears that earlier Yeshua was an elevated being with reference to Kalev, but from then onwards, Kalev's name is mentioned before Yeshua, and we have to understand why. Going back towards the beginning of the story of the miraculous, we're told as follows. We're told that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalled for Yeshua. Because it tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu called Hoshea ben Nun, Yeshua, and Rashi already says, Hispalel alav, ko yeshiach o me'at samarakim. The Baruch Hashem done for Yeshua. What we have to understand is, Why did Moshe Rabbeinu daven for Yeshua? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu daven for Yeshua and not for Caliph? Or for that matter, why did he daven for all of them, Rabbi? Why was Yeshua singled out by Moshe Rabbeinu as somebody who needs to be daven for, Kol Yeshiacha, as opposed to the other Maragim? This is something we have to understand. Now, Tarek Ben Yonason over here says something that needs explanation. It says as follows. Tarek Ben Yonason says, Kedichamo Moshe amvosanusei di Yeshua. When Moshe saw the humility of Yeshua, Koro Moshe Leishea Benun Yeshua. So the Targum Yenison already tells us, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Yeshua Ko Yeshiacha? Because he detected Yeshua's humility. And that's why he davened for Yeshua. Still needs some sort of explanation. How's humility come into it? And there again, why didn't he daven for the others? Why not for Yeshua? Why was humility the criteria over here? Perhaps one could explain it as follows. We find at the beginning of the parasha, it says as follows: "Yishlach Yisrael Moshe Miraporan Api Hashem Kulon Anoshim Roshei Bnei Yisrael Heim." They're all referred to as Anoshim. Says Rashi, what does the word Anoshim denote? Says Rashi as follows: "Kol Anoshim Sheba Mikro Loshim Chashivus." They were all Anoshim Chashuvim. They were all prominent personalities. They were all very, very great people. They were kosher. There was no evil intent. They were kosher. They were great people. If we go a bit further in the parasha, it says as follows. It says, Vayelchu Vayovoyu. Says Rashi, Vayelchu Vayovoyu. Vayelchu Vayovoyu is written, Vayelchu Lahakish Halichosan Lebiosan. To equate their going to their coming back. Ma bi oson be'etzaro, just like when they came back with evil intent, af halichoson be'etzaro, when they left towards Etzro, they also went with evil intent. Now we have to understand what happened over here. We're told on the one hand they're anoshim. Anoshim, we're told, is anoshim chashivas. Va'oisashok sheirim hoyu. And then we're told that halichoson was be'etzaro. They went with an evil intent. If they went with evil intent, then why were they considered sheirim? Why were they entitled Anoshim? But Tzur asked the question. Tzur asked the question, what's going on over here? Were they kosher? Did they go with evil intent? What's happening over here? Says the Bat Tzur as follows. Says the Bat Tzur, at the time when they were appointed, they were kshev. At the time of appointment, they were chashuvim. Immediately after their appointment, something went wrong. And they already traveled towards Eretz Yisrael with an evil intent. Now, what went wrong? The Stipler in Birch's Peretz explains this for us. He says, the only way to understand it is, they were given this wonderful appointment. They were elevated. They were given this very, very important job. They gained tremendous prominence, and therefore, they became Balei Gaiva. That's what happened. Because of their elevated positions, they started thinking a lot of themselves, and that's what led to their downfall. We can bring the siyua to this, that the downfall was gaiva, from Zohar Kodesh. Kelsitzvah brings down Zohar Kodesh. Zohar Kodesh says as follows. And one of the reasons why the Meraglim decided to speak negatively about Eretz Yisrael is because they'd just been elevated to high positions, and they were worried that when they come into Eretz Yisrael, there'll be new appointments. In other words, they will then be dismissed, and there will be new appointments. And because they didn't want to leave their elevated positions, therefore they thought, you know, they're enjoying their elevated status, and therefore they spoke negatively about Eretz Yisrael in order to preserve their positions. So we can see from the Zohar Kodesh that their intent was, they were influenced by the fact that they were enjoying their elevated situation. In other words, Gaiva had got hold of them, they're anoichius. The self-interest had got hold of them.
Rabbi, why did they think when they came to Israel they wouldn't be?
Zohar Kodesh says, obviously they thought that after all the wars, etc., etc., there'd be a reshuffling of the cabinet and new people would be appointed. So it says in Zohar Kodesh. The Gemara in Erechin actually says, that the Meraglim, what they were over on was Lashon Hara, they spoke Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael, and in fact, The Gemara says, if you're ready, if that's so evil, Koshkin, just tell Lashon Hara about another person, how evil it is. And then the Gemara carries on, the Gemara says, in Tesfogam Abase, that what is the antidote to Lashon Hara? How can one enable oneself to withstand the Nisayon of speaking Lashon Hara? Says the Gemara, what a person has to do is to be Mashpil Atzmai, Yashpil Da'atoi. And Nevis is the antidote to Lashon Hara. The person recognizes who he really is or who he really isn't, and he doesn't feel so haughty and pompous, he won't be so ready to talk Lashon Hara about others. So we see that Lashon Hara actually is tied in with Gaiva. Pompousness, thinking a lot of oneself, that leads to Lashon Hara. The antidote to Lashon Hara is humility. So I think we can now begin to understand the Targum Yenison. Targum Yenison, we've learned that the Nisoyen of the Maraglim was Gaiva, haughtiness. That's what happened to them. As soon as they were appointed, they became haughty, they became pompous, and that led to their downfall. He saw that Yeshua was untainted. He'd been appointed, but he remained the same humble person that he was beforehand. Oh, they've all been tainted. Yeshua is untainted. And I think that's the pshat in Targum Yenison. I've seen brought down, as Moshe brings down, says, the Eidom Zokt, as the Yud of Yeshua. I'll tell us it comes from Sarak. He says it's another pshat as well. If you have a look at the end of Parash Bar Leischa, we're told that Ve'ish Moshe Onov Mo'ov Mikol Odom. Now Onov Mo'onov is written a Krik Sif. Onov should be written Ayin Nun Yud Vav. The Yud is missing. The Yud is missing, and others say that the Yud of Yeshua came from the Onov of Moshe. It was the anivus of Yeshua, the humility of Yeshua, which allowed them to merit the tefillah of Moshe, which manifested itself in the addition of the Yud. So the Yud from the word Onov was added to Yeshua's name. And this was Yeshua's salvation, the fact that he managed to remain a humble person despite the elevated status they'd been appointed to. Now, if we have a look at Targum Yenison,
so the Yud of Yeshua helped him stay an Onov, or the way it sounds is that because he was an Onov, he merited the Tefillah of Moshe.
Which in turn protected him, as we'll see.
So in a way, Abraham, they needed even more of the Tefillah.
Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that they were already tainted. But Yeshua needs to be saved from the AIDS. We'll see further what Chazal have to say about this. If we have a look at the time of Yenison, what's interesting is there was only one person that appears on whom Moshe Rabbeinu detected that they remained humble despite the fact that they were appointed to high position, and that was Yeshua. As opposed to all the others, including Korach. So it would appear that although Yeshua was untainted and therefore he merited Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, Korach apparently seems to have also been caught up in the same Nisoyen as the Meraglim. I'd like to bring Maram Akremus to try and demonstrate this difference between Kolev and Yeshua. The Gemara Tzeker says in Daflam Adalvim Abes, Vayalu Banegev Vayovoy Adchev. The Gemara says it should say Vayalu Banegev Vayovoy U Adchev. Says the Gemara, Omar Rova, Melamed Shepirish Kolev Matz Meraglim, V'holach v'nishtateach al kibei ofis. Kolev separated himself from the Meraglim, and he went to Moros Machpelah to daven. V'ona, avoisa. He daven b'schus the ofis, b'kshu olai rachmim, she'in notzel me'atz Meraglim. Please for me before the Ribbono Shel Olam, that I should have the siyat d'shmaya to be saved from the eights of the Meraglim. Yeshua k'var b'kish Moshe rachmim olam. Kolev went, he was Mashtateach al Kibrei Ovis, and he davened, he prayed to the Ribbono Shel Olam, please, we ask the Ovis to intervene on his behalf, that he should be given the Siyat Dishmaya, the divine inspiration, to be able to withstand that Smaragli. So Yeshua doesn't need it. Yeshua didn't go to Chev. He's shielded by Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. I have a problem, I need divine help. Kolev risked his life. Chev was the Mokim Ho'anokim, that's where the giants were. Kolev went alone to Mishtatech al Kibri Elvis, this is the sort of avodah that Kalev had to put into in order to save himself from Matzah Samaraki. David Yor brings down the Zohar Kodesh. Zohar Kodesh says as follows: Il mole tefillos shel Moshe Rabbeinu, if not for the tefillah of Moshe, loy hayam nitzul Yeshua Matzah Maraglim, Yeshua wouldn't have been able to be saved from Matzah Maraglim. Il mole tefillos Kalev, hu loy hayam nitzul. And if not for tefillos Kalev, he wouldn't have merited salvation. Kalev merits salvation because of his tefillah. Yeshua merits salvation because he was protected by the tefillah of Moshe. Gemara tells us, if we have a look in Divrei Hayomim, Kalev is referred to as Ashchul. Kalev is given various names throughout Tanakh. And I'll just pick a couple of them, although they all point in the same direction. Kalev was called Ashchul. Why was called Ashchul, says the Gemara? Shehushcheru ponov betanios. Kalev, in order to invoke divine mercy, to allow him, to give him inspiration not to fall in with the Meraglim, he fasted tefillahs until his face became grey from all tefillahs. He fasted Tanesim until his face became grey from all the Tanesim that he fasted. This is the sort of effort that Kalev had to put into in order to save himself from Atzah Meraglim. He's called Yosho. Elsewhere in Tanakh. Sheyashir es Atzmo. He straightened himself out, says Rashi, Militois es Tos HaMeraglim. He straightened himself out from making the mistake that the Meraglim made. We don't find anywhere that Yeshua has been given names throughout Tanakh to indicate the efforts they put into in order to save himself from Atzah Meraglim. That's also for the same token. Yeshua was shielded by the tefillah of Moshe. Kalev had no shield. Kalev required his own input. Davni al Kibriolis, Tanias. He needed to have an input of tremendous effort in order to be Yasher as Atzmoy. That's what was necessary. Kalev was actually the son of Chetzer. And yet we find he's called Kalev ben Yefuna. Why is he called Kalev ben Yefuna? So Chazal tell us, Shepina Atzmoy me Atzah Meraglim. He turned himself away from the evil intent of the Meraglim. The Malbim asks, if Kalev's called Kalev ben Yefuna, then Yeshua should be called Yeshua ben Yefuna. He did exactly the same as Kalev. Says the Malbim, no. Kalev had to be peanuts. Kalev was very much enticed by the same thing that enticed the Meraglim. He had their challenges. He had the same Nisoyim. And he had to turn himself away from what attracted him. Therefore he's called Kalev ben Yefuna. Yeshua, says the Malbim, was shielded by Moshe's tefillah. Kol Yeshiach Ometz HaMeraglim. Yeshua didn't need to turn himself away. He was unattracted by what attracted the Meraglim. There was no necessity for him to be Pina Atzmoy. So the Muslim brings out the difference between Kalev and Yeshua. So we see a tremendous difference between Kalev and Yeshua. Yeshua, by virtue of the fact that initially he was unaffected by his appointment, he merited Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. And once he had Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, he was shielded completely. Kol Yeshiach HaMe'atzah Meraglim. Kalev, on the other hand, didn't merit Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. It appears that he was initially attracted by the same sort of ideals that attracted the Meraglim. But Kibbutz Shekhen, he needed an input of tremendous effort in order to ensure that he shouldn't fall in without some Meraglim. And perhaps this can help us understand what's going on over here. Kalev is given a title, Avdi Kalev. Yeshua is not given that title. I think the chiluk is straightforward. Kalev demonstrated tremendous yiras Hashem, tremendous arvas Hashem, tremendous subservience to the Ribbono Shel Olam by suppressing his inclinations, by risking his life to go and be mishtatech al kibri olmos, by fasting all those taniyos, by davening all those tefillos. Demonstrated a tremendous avdus, a tremendous ishtavdus to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeshua didn't have anything of that. Yeshua was shielded. Kol Yeshiach. Therefore, Kalev merited the title Avdi Kalev. He demonstrated tremendous avdus. The schar that Kalev received, as opposed to Yeshua, I think is also easily understandable. Kalev, because of his efforts, he deserved schar. He went through tremendous challenges, and he came through it, and he succeeded. Look, it's a kumta maschah. Yeshua was unchallenged. Therefore, there was no reason for the Ribbono Shel Olam to grant him a schar. And in fact, if you have a look at the pasuk, says as follows: "Va'afti kolev, eikiv hoyso ruach acheres imoy va'yimala acharoy." Therefore, by Yisrael Rosa Shebosh Shama v'zara Yerushel, he gets chevron wine. Eikiv hoyso ruach acheres imoy va'yimala acharoy. Explains the Malbim, hoyso ruach acheres imoy. He had within himself a different spirit. He had within himself the spirit of the Meraglim, va'yimala acharoy. And nevertheless, he went after me. He suppressed that, and he followed the Derech Hashem. And therefore, that's why he's being given Chevron. In fact, the Pasuk spells it out. Spells out what Kalev's challenge was. And the Pasuk spells out for us, so that's the reason why Kalev merited this Yerusha. Yeshua didn't go through any of that. He never had within him the Ruach HaCharis. And therefore, there was no necessity for him to be given a Schar. From now on, as we find that Kalev is mentioned before Yeshua, I think Pshat is Azoy. Kalev, by virtue of the fact that he had challenges, and he overcame those challenges, to overcome challenges brings tremendous spiritual growth. And that is why, although, until this point in time, Yeshua was more elevated than Kalev, Yeshua had Goyel Hamalas over Kalev. From now on, we mentioned Kalev's name before Yeshua, by virtue of the fact that he withstood the challenges, he became an elevated person, a spiritually elevated person, he became a greater person, and therefore from now on, Kol is mentioned before Yeshua. So I think what we can see from here is that the Shoyness, challenges, difficulties, can bring a person to spiritual growth and can bring reward. If we have a look in the Ramban, and possibly the Kim Nises Avraham, Maisa Egel, the Ramban says as follows. The Ramban says as follows. Nisoyin Ushakodish Poruchu Metzavaloi Lahoitzi Adova Minakech Lapoil Li Yisloischa Maisetoiv. He says the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam brings challenges to a person is in order that he should be able to bring his latent koiches, his strengths, his inner strengths, minakoyach alapoyel, thereby meriting scha. And this is what happened to Chevron, to Kalev. He merited the scha of Chevron by virtue of the fact that he faced a challenge. He overcame a challenge, and therefore he merited scha. In fact, the Ramban finishes off as all the challenges that we find in the Torah are actually inflicted or given, I shouldn't say inflicted, but given in order that the manusa, the challenged one, should ultimately benefit. Speaking about spiritual elevation, the Medrash tells us also in Parashat Vayeros, as the Medrash, that the word Nisoyen is Miloshen Nes, Nes being a banner. When you do what a banner is placed at a high point. And that is the purpose of Nisoyen, Nisoyen Miloshen Nes. Nisoyen, the Maisa, elevates a person to a high point. And this is there again what happened to Kalev. Kalev gained tremendous spiritual elevation by virtue of the fact that he had this challenge, and he overcame that challenge, he was elevated, and he received schar. Maybe I'll just add a quick story, which perhaps is known to some of you. Stechemed was, it's famous, Stechemed was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Stechemed was a bokim called Chevrei HaTorah. If one has a look at the Sforum of Stechemed, they're absolutely phenomenal. And it's related, a great uncle of mine, Rabbi Yosef Rotman, one of the Kiri Yerushalayim, used to go regularly to visit the Stechemet. And once he came in, he saw a smile playing on the Stechemet's lips. He saw wondering what was going on. The Stechemet said, I was just smiling because I recalled the story he said from my youth. He said, when I was a young man, I used to learn with great Asmoda, but I wasn't particularly academically gifted. It was difficult. See, I got married and I joined a kohel which was supported by a wealthy malabos, and I worked very hard, and by virtue of my hard work, I managed to sort of keep up, but I wasn't one of the gifted members of the chabur. He said there was somebody who had a particular grudge against me, and he decided to blacken my name, and he got the local maid who used to clean the base of medrash to blacken the name of the steichent, and she did so, and of course it created tremendous chil Hashem. But the Gvir, the wealthy man who supported the Kohel, didn't believe what she had to say, dismissed her from her job, and kept the stichemet in the Kodah. Now, once she'd been dismissed for a job, although she'd been rewarded for her work, but eventually that money ran out. So she came back ultimately to the stichemet. She said, I'm in trouble. True, I blackened your name. I'm prepared to repent, and I'm prepared to publicize that it wasn't you, and it was this other younger man who put me up to it, and please, I'll clear your name, and you try and find me employment. So he was very tempted to do so, to clear his name, although people didn't necessarily believe what had been said, but it caused him a lot of agmas nefesh, and it was very unpleasant. But then, it suddenly struck him that if his name is cleared, and a finger is pointed at this other gentleman, and people hear what he did, it will again create a tremendous renewed chil Hashem. And after much soul searching, although it was difficult for him, he refused to go along with it. And he said, at that moment in time, he said, when I faced up to that challenge, he says, I suddenly felt as if my mind had opened up, and Kol HaTehillah Kula was open in front of me. Then we see the Stichemet faced up to a tremendous challenge, and because of his success, he ultimately became the great Stichemet. And I think we have to view Nisyonis as opportunities rather than challenges. We don't want Nisyonis, we don't look for Nisyonis, but everybody through life goes through Nisyonis of some form or other. That's all part and parcel of life. And we have to view them as opportunities rather than challenges, opportunities for spiritual growth, opportunities for schar. When we all be zeiche, not to experience this yoinus, but if we do have them, perhaps that can be a chizuk.